You are listening to the Dental Business Mastery Podcast, where we discuss insights and strategies for your successful dental practice. There are also interviews with key people in the industry who have advice and services to help you and your team achieve great success. Welcome to this episode of the Dental Business Mastery Podcast. And I am your host today, Julie Parker. And with me, I've got accountant Boris Feldman of BT Corporate Advisory. Welcome, Boris.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you for having me around.
Oh, that is my absolute pleasure. And you and I met up recently. We've kind of known about each other for many years, but you're an accountant based in Melbourne, and you, amongst other clients, you also have a lot of dentists as clients, dental practice owners.
That's correct.
Wonderful. And when it comes to playing an active role as an accountant in the success of a dental practice, tell us a little bit more. I think a lot of people go down the path of practice ownership and they utilize their accountant kind of to get the BASAs done and get the end of year tax done. And they may have a meeting, a financial meeting, maybe once a year. But I've certainly been involved with practices where the accountant plays a far greater role, helping us track key performance indicators and identify areas for potential growth and success and opportunity. Tell us how you work with your clients and what's a good scenario for you.
Absolutely. Look, from our perspectives, first and foremost, we concentrate on understanding what it is that the client wants. So a typical dental surgery or practice has, you know, the main sort of proprietor, so to speak, and then, you know, two or three or four, sometimes more of locum type dentists, or maybe it's a partnership with two or three dentists and stuff. So, and like each individual person is different, the same way each dentist is different in the sense of what their goals are, what their objectives are, what they're looking for, what they're looking to do, and what sort of appetite for risk they have, whether it's in business or investing and, you know, anything else. So I think to be a good source of value-added advice and, you know, to be a good accountant, it's imperative and most important to understand what it is that client actually wants and needs, and understand everything about them as much as possible, so that our guidance and scope and service can be centered around them rather than just generic, general stuff. And you know, a lot of times, if we don't have the clear understanding of the client, we may guide them in a direction that potentially may cause them more stress than required, or potentially doesn't challenge them enough than required, which, you know, in both situations, it's detrimental to overall result. So, you know, I'm all about productivity and result in the end of the day, you know, because that's what the measure of value and success is the result, end result. So to get to that end result, clear understanding of the client, when client feels, oh, Boris gets me 100% or close to, and I can rely on Boris's suggestion because he knows what I need, so to speak. And that's what I strive for every client and certainly for every dentist, to actually get them as much as possible. And it's really, you know, it sounds maybe a bit complicated or a bit invasive, but it really does, you know, it's really not invasive. It's just having a normal conversation, asking the right questions. And then, you know, asking questions back and getting answers and then formulating the plan forward. So it's really simple as that, or can be as simple as that.
It sounds similar to the kind of relationship that a dentist wants with their patient as well. that there, you know, if a patient came to a dentist and said, what can you do for me? The dentist would sit back and say, well, I can do 100 different things for you, but it all depends on what you particularly need. And so let's go through that discovery process and have a relationship where we're always keeping each other up to date on, especially with your clients, on, you know, this is where my family situation is right now. This is my journey in terms of career and business growth. And this is how, this is the kind of path I want to take in terms of the dental practice and where I want to eventually be, and keep that conversation going, because that's what's going to determine how well you can help them.
Exactly. Exactly right.
Yeah. So when a new client comes on board, when you, for example, there's a client, a listener out there that needs a new accountant, because, you know, finding the right accountant, again, is like finding the right dentist. You've got to find somebody that you feel a resonance with and that you feel gets them, as you were mentioning before. What kind of information are you looking for in terms of their business so you can start providing helpful advice and guidance on how, what they may not be aware of to date, that can take them off into a stronger path of success?
Certainly. Look, it's hard to sort of generalize, because, like I said, each dentist, each individual is different and, you know, it quite unique, different. But if we try to generalize, there's a simple sort of starting point, you know, what structure are they operating? I mean, that's the first step to understand what the structure is. And, you know, we come across with many new clients still who run as a sole trader, and they never understood, you know, the difference between sole trader, company, trust. They never were advised properly in the past. And you know, the dentist could be in their late 50s or 60s, and, you know, they never had an accountant that actually, you know, coached them through that process and advised them. And, you know, in extreme circumstance, I had a dentist who was operating as a sole trader, and he had assets in the group, the assets they had were over $20 million. So there's a lot of risk exposure, and you know, everything was in sort of his and wife's name, and he was operating as a sole trader, which, you know, in most circumstances is big no-no. So understanding the structure is very, very important, and then educating the client about different structures is equally important. So that's kind of a starting point. Then understanding of their assets and liabilities. Now, that's crucial from many, many angles, you know, wealth creation and succession planning and everything else, and the retirement. But also it's crucial in terms of understanding where the values potentially can be brought in. So, for example, if they've got non-deductible debt, meaning the debt against their private home or a holiday house or something, some private assets, and how is there opportunity or possibility to convert that debt into deductible debt? Now, deductible debt is something that can be offset in their tax bill. So someone earning $200,000 taxable income has, you know, $50,000 interest on non-deductible debt, can offset that non-deductible debt against $200,000. So they pay tax on $200,000. Now, someone who has tax deductible debt of $50,000 or interest of $50,000 can offset that against $200,000. So they only pay tax on $150,000. So in that sort of example, they'd be saving over $20,000 in income tax. So that's quite a large amount of money, and that's annual. It's not once off, it's annual. So for us to actually review that situation and analyze how that's structured can unlock huge value. And you know, probably more than 50% of new clients that we get, we are able to convert some of the non-deductible debt into tax-deductible debt, because quite often clients miss that.
It's an enormous space, because I think as business owners, I remember when I owned my own practice, you do have this thought about yourself, I should understand the basics around this. And so I think sometimes you're a bit shy in asking some key questions around what's going on. And also, you're actually highlighting as well why it's always a good idea to get another opinion. You know, you have some fresh eyes looking on your situation to see if there are other opportunities like that. But just like you, Boris, if you went along to a dentist and get a root canal therapy, you don't understand all the ins and outs of the root canal therapy. So it's quite legitimate to say, what do you mean by root canal therapy? Tell me more about that. But for some reason, I feel like maybe ego plays a bit of a role, or a fear of being seen as stupid, when the clients themselves, these educated, experienced dentists, come into their accountant office and they're not fully understanding exactly what situation they're in, and they're not fully understanding the verbiage of the accountant themselves. And it's okay to say, hang on a second, I don't understand fully what you're talking about. Let's go through things step by step so I really understand it.
Exactly. And you know, I guess in general, in the marketplace, most service providers are quite ordinary, or in often they pretty bad, and you know, exceptional ones or the best ones are very hard to find and hard to come by. So, you know, I'm not bragging about BT Corporate as being exceptional, but you know, I strive to do exceptional job for clients, and for me to unlock and discover stuff that actually adds value is crucial in terms of job satisfaction, my own job satisfaction, and in terms of what we are trying to achieve in our service to the client. So it's just the way, and you know, unlocking some of the easy picking fruit by reviewing a client's structure and circumstance is a first starting point.
Yeah, that's it. And I think the prospect of thinking, oh, I've just got to kind of get a checklist going and get these sort of things ticked off my list to make sure that I'm going down the right path, isn't so much the case, is it? Because it does depend on where people find they are right now, what their journey is going to be, what their vision is for their own wealth creation as well and their business. So from what you end up doing, Boris, is more strategic thinking.
Yeah, it's strategic and it's I guess opportunistic, in a sense of I know what other accountants miss. I know what other accountants find, don't have time for, don't have knowledge for, don't have experience for. So, you know, armed with that knowledge and intelligence, you know, you go for that. Like, why wouldn't you? Because it adds value to the client. So that's what you know we do. Because at the end of the day, we are limited. I mean, the way the tax laws are drafted and tax, you know, the way ATO administers the taxation system is that we are limited, you know, in deductions in terms of what clients can and can't deduct. Most accountants, they do know what's deductible and what's not deductible. So for us, for example, to start reviewing profit and loss for the client and trying to add a few more deductions is non-productive. It's, you know, because we don't want to be bullish, we don't want to be aggressive, we don't want to cause clients audits or problems. So, you know, there are missed you know, missed deductions here and there, and obviously we look at that, but in general, it's immaterial. You know, for a client earning $1 million, you know, in a practice, you know, there may be a couple of $1,000s of deductions on average, so which is 2%, really, you know, of something to offset additionally, and it's not material enough to be, you know, to be trying to find it somewhere. But, you know, we look for sort of most obvious, and in some cases there's a bigger amounts, but, you know, it's not something we can generate value immediately, but we certainly can, you know, generate value with what I just said, you know, the debt restructure as well as even just like loan restructure or loan refinance, because quite often clients have a mortgage or a loan for business or personal properties or other investments, you know, which been set for years and years, been with the same bank, and you know, banks don't reward loyalty these days, or not these days, but they haven't for many years now. They actually tax loyalty. So somebody who's been loyal with them and never asks to review their rates, you know, we find they pay, you know, up to almost 1% extra compared to what the new client that the bank would pick up would get as an offer. So people that are sort of loyal and don't ask questions, they've been stung with extra repayments, with extra interest. So for us to, you know, have a look at it for the client, because, you know, as part of our due diligence of bringing client on and this initial sort of introduction, we ask about assets, liabilities, and we find what sort of loans they have. And if I can see that their interest is high, you know, the first thing I say, go to your banker and tell them. Or if they, you know, if they want to refinance with another bank or broker, we can recommend, you know, someone to speak with as well. So it's something also, you know, could save thousands of dollars in repayments and interest annually. So why not look for that? So that's
for sure. And as usual, a lot of these institutions and companies, they have all the special deals for new clients coming on board, but the regular loyal ones that have been around for years and years and years don't get any loving at all.
No, they don't. So it's important to be proactive. I mean, it's a reminder that, you know, you need to be proactive in everything you do, not just your finances, you know.
Yeah.
What's the saying? The early risers catch the first worm, or the early rising bird catches the first worm, whatever, more worms, something like that anyway.
Yeah, no, that's right. The early bird gets the worm. That's right. You've got to be out there doing it, looking for it. Otherwise, if you just kind of wake up every morning and just go about your day in Groundhog Day mentality, just into your default patterns, you miss all these opportunities because you're not even looking for them. And there's been so many changes as well federally in terms of what we can do with investment properties and all the things. We really do need a company like BT Corporate Advisory that makes sure that they are keeping on top of all of these different areas. And so when we are talking about a lot of the changes that are happening and moving through, but also just to have those additional set of eyes on your figures, it, you know, from a consultant perspective, there's an accountant and the way they assess a particular business, but then there's a consultant and their eyes over the same business will pick up different things. And I remember speaking to a dentist, it was a specialist, I can't remember what specialty that they were in dental, but they said, you know, periodontists can place dental implants, prosthodontists can place dental implants, general dentists can as well, and oral maxillofacial surgeons can all place implants. However, because of their training and where they deem that implant is ideally to sit for the prosthodontist, you know, aesthetically, it's going to be, this is the best place to be. Periodontists are all about the tissue healing. They've all got a different perspective And so they'll all place that implant in a slightly different way, a slightly different area. And I think that, you know, we're talking about dental businesses here. I think with dental businesses, it's the same thing. It's not enough just to have a consultant look over things. You got to look at for the accountant. You need that additional advice, those additional set of eyes, that level of experience and expertise to be able to get the full picture. So what sort of cadence do you suggest is a good idea when it comes to sitting down, having financial meetings with your clients?
So the best thing is to make sure that you as a client formulate in your mind, you know, what it is that you want to achieve. I mean, not simply make more money, not simply retire early, you know, don't sort of go cliche way, but like realistically, be realistic and think, you know, what do you want to achieve? You want to achieve, obviously, you know, work-life balance. What does it look like? Do you want to work 2 days a week, 3 days a week? Or do you want to, you know, whatever it is for you that would sort of make you happy. So review that, then review what it is, you know, you want to retire on, what sort of dental business you want to grow, what sort of, you know, what sort of patients you want to be taking on. Cause that's important thing as well. Cause you don't want to be in an ideal world. You don't want to be just taking anyone on, because patients can be quite like any, clients, they can be difficult to work with. And you know, they can cause you a lot of stress and headache. So you need to sort of be in charge of who you take on or who you sort of don't, I guess, take on. Not so much you discriminate, but you know, to be sort of in the driving seat. So think about that. Then think about what sort of how complicated you are willing to have your structure in order to, you know, in order to provide for your beneficiaries in the future, or your current dependents currently and so on. So that's important to sort of think about that. And really, you know, I would say, just because it's all a lot of different things, but like, let's say a business plan, you know, a business plan you put together for the business. And you know, a good business plan is not something you just go and create to put in a drawer and never look again and use template online to put together. A good business plan is something that you pretty much go back to on a weekly basis, and you change things as time goes. Like I know for my business and for myself, you know, maybe not on a monthly basis, but certainly every year I change some of the things. I change and just because, you know, I'm getting 1 year older and, you know, learning some things or picking up some things, or some things are less important or more important. So I'm constantly refining it and constantly refocusing attention to certain things. So if the client can spend time thinking about it, doesn't have to be anything in concrete, but just think about it, and then we can have that discussion, and we can then guide their thinking in a more sort of in a more concise and concrete direction. That would be amazing, because that would mean that we would have some roadmap to refer to, which will allow us to achieve whatever goals we set much faster, much easier, and much more enjoyable journey on the way.
Yeah, I love that. And you're right. I think sometimes we think, oh, business plans are for when we're getting the finance at the start of our journey, and it gets done once and then it gets dropped. But the goalposts are always changing, and they should always change. We are evolving in terms of what we want personally, but also what we want for the business. We learn, as you say, you learn more things. All of a sudden, the goalposts start to change a little bit. And it's a wonderful thing that you're always going back to your own business plan and updating it, because it is the roadmap. Otherwise, we are kind of, we're not the early bird. We're just kind of getting up every morning and we're going, as I said before, by just the same way that we've gone in default patterns, like Groundhog Day. And then we get down the track and we're like, oh, I'm 55 and I wasn't where I thought I was going to be. I feel like I'm in the same place as I was 5 years ago. And so we sometimes think to ourselves, as long as revenue is always growing and we're doing everything we can to reduce expenses, that's the job done. But another part of the whole journey is really understanding, doing what we can, utilizing your advice, doing what we can to understand what a profitable business means, because this is what ends up impacting lifestyle for the owner.
Hugely, absolutely. And the more we can avoid unproductive procrastinating behavior and activities where you just sort of don't have a clear direction as you get up in the morning and you spend, you know, until lunchtime just doing nothing productive. And what have I done? I've done sort of nothing important. And you know, obviously if you have appointments with patients, you won't have time to be unproductive because you have to go and service it. But, you know, when you need to work on the business and potentially looking at your patient mix, and, you know, if you can do good implants or you qualify to do, you know, decent quality implants, well, it's no use, you know, filling your days with patients needing, I don't know, some fillings or teeth cleaning or something, you know, something that doesn't need to be undertaken by you because it's not profitable enough.
Yeah.
So that's important. And look, generally I would say dentists understand that concept, but, you know, quite often they just miss it because they just, you know, too busy servicing the patients. But, you know, it's evaluating which patients they service is important.
I think that's highlighting how the goals do change. So when a dental practice is starting up from scratch, for example, you got, you know, fresh new owner out there building a practice from scratch, there's no patients, no building at all, your very first goal is just to get as many bums on seats as possible to pay money so you can pay all of your bills. And so the turnover and the number of new patients that you have are key. But then as you evolve and grow, you start to think to yourself, oh, you know, the revenue is taking care of itself. You know, we're humming along quite nicely. Now I care more about profitability. Now that I've got the business viable, now I start to care what this can mean for my own lifestyle and growth from a wealth perspective. But also with the patients too at the start. And as you said before, it's not a judgment thing. We see all patients, but our marketing messages that we put out, the way we design our practice, the decor, the systems, the kind of team members that we bring on board, the kind of customer service we deliver, it's going to be appealing to a particular type of patient. And whereas at the start, we just want any person coming in, and so we're throwing our arms open and going, come on in, everybody. Once you get busy and humming along, you do start to refine not who you see, but who your marketing messages are, what's going out there, and the type of patients that you want to attract are the type of patients that are going to really enjoy what you enjoy delivering in terms of a service. And so from that perspective, this is where the game plan must change and it must evolve. And you think about what your goals as an accountant were. When did you first open BT Corporate Advisory, for example? How many years have you been running?
2007. So we're going to be 20 years next year, which is a big milestone. And to tell you the truth, it doesn't feel like 20 years. It feels much less, like half, maybe even... Well, yeah, like sometimes feels even less than half, but It definitely doesn't feel it, but time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you, that's right, when you're having fun, when you're busy, time does fly. And so making sure that we're always aiming towards the goal that we want is a good idea. Which kind of lends us into that, you mentioned it before, succession planning, and that, currently at the moment, one of our clients, they're selling their dental practice. They've been a dentist for decades and decades. They absolutely love their career. But then everyone finds themselves in that position. Now's the time for me to sell. And you hear all the time, when should you be planning how you're going to end up selling, what your succession plan is? And they often say, at least 5 years prior, you should be planning for that time.
Absolutely. Look, from my perspective, you start planning for succession from the first day you start. I mean, that's the wisdom that you learn as you get experience in business, because it's no use doing stuff with a view that you're going to be doing something forever. Or with a view that you're never going to retire or anything like this. So it's important to think about everything from day one and have it as part of your business plan, how it's going to look. Because let's say a young dentist starts up a practice when they're 28 years old or 30 years old, let's say. They start the practice, obviously they're very far from retirement and it's completely irrelevant. And it doesn't need to take up their time at that point. They don't need to, hustle around trying to get somebody to buy their practice because it's stupid, because they're not selling and they're going to be there. They need to build it. But to have an idea and have it written in a business plan somewhere, what it would look like, whether they want to bring somebody on, 5 years, as you said, or maybe even 10 years beforehand, somebody that as a partner, as a junior partner, perhaps, who will take over, that will be extremely helpful because then they can start from that day one looking for that junior partner. If that's what they want, they may not want any partners, that's fine, but they could start early and it would take potentially years and years and years to meet the right one. But if they don't even know that that's what they're looking for, they'd probably be meeting, dozens and dozens of potential partners that they could use or that they could work with, but they'd just be missing them because they're not even focused, because they're not selling. So stuff like that, they're just common sense, Julie. It's common sense, but we often miss common sense stuff or forget about common sense stuff, and that's quite often happens that way. So from perspectives of best practice, and that's what we coach our clients to, have a good business plan. We can help them to think about all these things, and that sort of, if you just focus on that advice alone, it could be priceless in the end, because it could mean that that 28-year-old junior, or not junior, the dentist, the newly established dental practice, has, by the time he's 50, he could have a practice that makes money for him without him needing to be there much at all, because he just sets it up in such a way that, there'd be transition for him and succession. So he can start utilizing, opportunity to not so much do nothing, but maybe keep opening other practices in the same manner and let them run by themselves if he's successful at it and he's got that interest. So, we've helped clients to do that, where they set up three, four, half a dozen of practices because they managed to recruit right partners for that, and the dental practices run themselves, and they are good at setting it up and putting it all together, and that's what they enjoy, business development, rather than, you know, sticking their head and face into somebody's mouth.
That's it. And you can see how it plays out. You've got a dentist that owns their business. They've been working at it for decades. They love it. They start to think, oh, I think I'm going to cater back a little bit. I'm in my 60s or I'm in my 70s. I'm going to pull back. I'm not going to do 4 days a week anymore. I'm going to come down to 3 days a week or 2 days a week. And then they move along down the journey for the next couple of years like that. But the minute that main practitioner is reducing down their productivity, they're reducing down the value of their asset as well, because it is much based on, a big factor of what the valuation of the business is its profitability. And so when you start to bring that down, then the value of that asset goes down too. So this is where the planning ahead, you can go, well, if selling your dental practice at as high a amount as possible is important to you, then you can certainly cater down, but we need to start looking at getting other associates on board to replace that production, things like that. And so this is where what you say is so important, that we need to really establish, well, what is the goal? Even though it changes and evolves, that's all groovy, but we always need to be aware of what that goal is, because then trying to determine how to achieve that goal is strategy, and what are the strategies that are available to them. And as dentists, they will have one series of strategies in their brain, and we just need to broaden that perspective out and get our accountants on board as well and helping us with those plans.
Absolutely. And that's I guess where, again, a value from a good accountant comes in, because all other accounts, they'd be fine to do tax returns and financials and BAS returns. There's not that difficult, or there's not much to it. But strategically to align everything, and that's where a good advice and good guidance early, and really it's all about it's all about not reactive but proactive advice. It's about future, not so much reacting to what happened in the past. Like, past is important. You need to learn from the past, and you need to pick everything you can experience you've learned from the past. But you certainly can't stay in the past, and you need to map the future. And proactive advice, where it focuses or refocuses the client into the future point, is crucial. And that's again where a value comes in, and could be worth like a lot of money and a lot of sleepless nights, which is priceless as an ad in a MasterCard, because even if it's not money, it's the stress kills, as they say. So a little bit less stress is amazing.
Oh, that's for sure. And I'm kind of drawing a bit of an analogy. It's like going along to your GP and just getting the mole check done and the other regular checks that you get done as a human being, just the regular yearly or bi-yearly tests done. But it's a different question to go to your GP and say, how can I be healthier? This is my diet. This is how much I drink. This is my stress levels. This is my lifestyle. Now, how can I actually be healthier? And it's like going to your dentist as well and just getting the same checkup and clean done every 6 months. But what if that patient came to you and said, I want to function better. I want my teeth to last me a lifetime now. I'm 50 years old. What do I need to do now to achieve my oral health goals down the track? And this is what the role an accountant can play as well. They can just do your tax and your BAS if you like, but ask different questions, and all of a sudden the information that you get, the control and power you start to gain over your future becomes very apparent.
Absolutely. And I guess having you on the side, being able to provide that guidance specific for the dentist and dental practice, and your experience in dental practice more on a technical level, not so much, not so much in sort of structure and accounting taxation level, it's a massive, massive thing as well. So that's also the case. So, So that's, making sure it's not what you know, it's who you know. So I'm very fortunate to know you, Julie.
Haha, and me, you as well, Boris. I'm delighted. So if there are listeners out there that they are looking at going into business, or they'd like their finances managed, or they're already well-established owner and, you know, within their finances as well, and they want to seek you out and get your advice, get your opinion, ask you those key questions, what's their best next step?
The best next step is to reach out and get in contact. So the way we would do, we would sort of run with it. Once they reach out and articulate what they're looking for and who they are, we will organize to do similar sort of thing, whether in person or online, and just discuss exactly where they're at and what problems or what questions they have. And, first and foremost, address the urgent needs, because quite often, you know, new clients come on board, new dentists, and, you know, they've got urgent need, for example, because they bought a property, they need finance, and their accountant doesn't answer their phone call, or doesn't answer emails, or taking too long to complete their tax returns, which they need to provide to the bank to get finance sold. So that's an urgent need. So it's no, we're not going to dive into all this succession planning talk, or structuring talk so much, because we're going to jump straight into this urgent need. So that's what we'll do. But, in other circumstances where it's just to get a second opinion, to have another pair of eyes to review their circumstance and provide them provide to them some feedback, and you know, it's obligation free advice, really, strategically feedback on how they're doing, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, what they can look for. And I love doing it, not because I love working for free, but I love doing it because it gives me an opportunity, it presents an opportunity for me to add value, to pay forward to someone. Yeah. And if they are more than happy for them to take it back to their advisor, to their accountant, I'm more than happy for them to implement it with their advisor and their accountant, because, you know, I know in general they will be grateful, and, you know, when you pay something forward, you get it back and sometime in the future. So I'm not worried about anything straight away. It's like I said, it gives me satisfaction to use my knowledge and experience to help someone. So that's as easy as that. They don't need to engage. They don't need to start paying money. They don't need to, you know, something locked in and pre-purchase or whatever. It's nothing like that. It's very sort of easy easing into it. Hope I answered it in a long-winded way, but clear enough.
No, that's great. It's a lovely philosophy to live by, Boris. And, you know, for the listeners out there, this is a no risk. Just contact you, reach out, have a conversation, and become aware of some of the things that you may not just simply be aware of, and get that second opinion. I mean, it's not saying that your current accountant's not doing the right thing by you. It's just getting another perspective, just like you would. You know, a lot of dental patients do this as well. They get somebody else's perspective. You'd possibly do that if you were going off to see a medical specialist as well. And so I think that is providing people with a beautiful way of opening themselves up to potential opportunities that's going to really help serve them, not just personally, but in their own businesses as well. And so your website is btcorporateadvisory.com.au. All of your contact details are there, and they can reach out anytime.
Yeah, there's a form online they can fill in, put their name, put the comments. I would appreciate greatly if they mention this podcast, because that would, you know, be clear that they come from this, and you know, they, I wouldn't say they get very special attention, because all clients get special attention from us, but they will, yeah, it just gives me I guess intelligence where they come from, and you know what to how to help them and stuff.
And well done not falling into that trap of only rewarding new people and not treating the loyal ones badly, but you're treating everybody well. So that's fantastic, Boris. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom and your insights with us. I really appreciated the conversation.
Thank you, Julie. I really appreciate, I enjoyed it. It was, you've asked some good questions, and I really enjoyed our chat, and thanks for having me, and we'll maybe do it again at some point.
Please, it would be fantastic to have you back on regularly to talk about how you can help people and how dental practices out there can be more successful.
Amazing. Thank you, Julie. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, then I encourage you to head over to dentalbusinessmastery.com.au. You will find all the information that you need if you would like to gain our assistance in helping you and your team achieve great success. If you would like to find out more, you can also email us directly at info@dentalbusinessmastery.com.au. Thanks so much for listening.